This is an Enterprise Time Security podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at the Cybersecurity Challenge with Colin and Bryony.
Hi, yes, Colin Lobley, CEO of Cybersecurity Challenge. Been in post all 6 months, joining from industry where I was with Hewlett-Packard Enterprise beforehand.
Bryony Shillery, Head of Comms for Cybersecurity Challenge, and I've been in and around the company for around 4 years now, putting into practice lots of new processes and comms work and looking to appeal to more people.
This is the latest of the face-to-face competitions. We're building towards this year's finale, just one more face-to-face to go. How successful are the face-to-faces being year on year on year?
Well, they've certainly grown, obviously only been in 6 months, but they've certainly grown since the organisation started in 2010, so there's more of them happening. And I think the diversity of the audience is slowly changing as well. What I've noticed out there today is an awful lot more young people there as well. And you're starting to see the market initiatives feeding each other and starting to join up, which was much needed. So quite a few of the young ones here today came through the Cyber Discovery programme that we're delivering with SANS BT and Future Learn, which is the government schools programme for young school children. So it's nice to see them going through that programme and then coming over to our masterclass. So I think they're being very successful in being a point on the journey for people, and that's what the challenge is all about. It's about attracting people in towards a cybersecurity profession, but then it's nurturing them along the path. And there's so many different sort of little point initiatives out there at the moment. People get confused, so we're trying to bring it all together, coordinate it, show people their pathway. And seeing today and having obviously people from Cyber Discovery as a feeder and some of the other things that we're doing as a feeder, it's really successful.
How do you widen that approach to bring people in? It's one thing to run competitions, but you've got to make it attractive to people. What can you do in terms of being off the wall, for example, just to get attention?
We're looking at what attracts people from all different walks of life, not just technical. We know that we're always going to attract a certain number of people that are going to go on to study computer science or cybersecurity. And actually, the cybersecurity industry is about a whole wealth of more jobs than that. It's cybersecurity lawyers, it's people looking at psychology and human behaviour. We need to appeal to people that are from all those different walks of life. So it might be something like running a different type of competition that looks at different skills, or it might be running a completely separate competition online that asks people, what does cybersecurity mean to you and how would you put it into words? We have a competition running now alongside our Recoded event that we're calling Cybersecurity Imagine That, and it's how do you imagine it? We've had young people send us things like songs they've written about cybersecurity, or it could be a poem, or it could be a photograph that they think really captures the imagination. And that kind of content is really going to get out there and appeal to young people that may not have thought about this before.
It's getting that appeal, though, earlier in the cycle, isn't it? We've got a lot of people in the industry who may have some skills and are just looking for a way into a better job, a more lucrative job. But if we don't bring people in, if we don't grab their attention, we lose them to so many other different career paths at the moment. How hard is it to appeal to a younger age group and not just get their initial interest, but retain that interest?
I don't think necessarily it's difficult. It takes some time and effort and considered thought about how to position the messaging. But I mean, overall, we need to break the image of the industry. We're seen as a very heavy technical industry, hoodie wearing teenager in a basement on their own with a computer. And it's not like that in the real world at all. And that image then narrows the pool of people who are attracted to the industry. So we need to break that image and expand it out. I mean, Bryony already mentioned some of the things that we're doing around how to imagine and redefine the cybersecurity industry. And everything that we do is just putting a different face out there, a different image. So Cyber Recoded is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be the largest career show, cyber career show Europe's ever seen, happening in October. And with that, we're just making it a lot more attractive and friendly. It's certainly not going to be in a basement with loads of hoodie wearing people in a dark room. It's going to be light and airy. It's going to have a really cool innovation zone to it to showcase not just the latest cyber stuff, which is difficult to make look sexy. But digital products and services, these things can't get to market unless they're secure and resilient behind the scenes. And research has proven that seeing the end product of something actually attracts more females, the way that the mind works and what motivates them. That sort of innovation zone to really capture people in, and then we're gamifying a lot of the education and learning content that we do. So there's going to be a gaming zone which appeals to another demographic again and is just a bit more enjoyable and interactive. And then, of course, there'll be the exhibition. But it's about demonstrating that you won't end up in a basement. You'll end up in a team. You'll talk to people. You'll have fun. And there's various different career paths. Just slowly breaking down the image. It's not going to happen overnight, but we're doing all we can.
How do we get that engagement on those career paths? I mean, you mentioned it, Brian, lawyers. If we look at degrees, cyber isn't part of any legal degree out there at the moment. Cyber forensics is a good example. There's a whole bunch of things you have to do. What do you gather in terms of the logs? How do you make sure your team do things in an evidentiary manner? The average lawyer working in a corporate isn't thinking evidentiary when something happens. They're thinking, oh my God, the shit's hit the fan, what do we do now? So how do you get that engagement into education?
One of the biggest barriers is most certainly education of not just teachers. A lot of teachers have the best intents, but they might not necessarily have the knowledge themselves of cybersecurity and how it fits with the wider world. It's also parents. Most of these young people, their parents aren't going to have a clue that these jobs exist and where that kind of skill can apply. So if their child turns around to them and says, I want to do something in hacking, they're only ever going to think of it as a bad thing because they've read something in the media about hacking and hacking's bad. They're not going to realise there's a legitimate career there. That's one of the barriers. We need to educate them about the wealth of jobs from the parent and teacher point of view to be the force multipliers and get the kids through the doors. But it's also then educating the industry. So people that are law firms or are retailers or anyone who, if you think about most companies these days, have a cyber person or department, but they don't necessarily think of themselves as being a player in the cybersecurity industry. That's where we need to change those perceptions. We need to have a bit of a call to action in the industry as well to say, no, you're part of this too. Even if you're not a cybersecurity company, it still affects you.
Well, you both come from industry. You're not people born in the challenge, you're not people born in cybersecurity. How do we make that engagement? And if I ask you the question first, Bryony, you come from a communication side. One of the things that companies do so badly when they're hit is how do we talk to the press? How do we recover this? How do we get the message out there? And time after time, we see this become a huge problem. What needs to happen in the comms industry alone to understand this?
Again, a big part of it is awareness. I would not have a clue that this was a job that I could do talking about cybersecurity, or the fact that you don't necessarily need to be technical in order to talk about it. You just have to understand that there's a problem there and this is the route to the end and know how to plan around it and get the best out of a circumstance. It's about understanding your skills as a person, which I don't think is a problem just the cybersecurity industry has. I think it's most industries. Having worked in admissions at a university before and helping kids do their applications, most people don't have the ability to know what skills they actually hold themselves. Yes, you go and play a team sport, but actually that means you're quite a good communicator in that environment, and having that knowledge of how to transfer that is something that everyone in the country could do with being taught a little bit better, to be quite honest.
Colin, coming from a technology company, HPE, that has a cybersecurity division, what is the gap that you see between people applying for jobs and actually the skill set you need on the ground, and how do we close that gap?
It was just a volume issue more than anything. You could say that the volume of the right caliber of people coming through the mainstream education system wasn't good enough, certainly wasn't high enough. And then what that breeds in industry is very much a poaching culture. There's some big problems around somebody like HPE and the other big boys out there. Not a problem getting the graduates in. Big brand, deep pockets, easy. Train them for a couple of years, get them all certified up, and that's when vultures start circling and they start poaching. But then we'd go off and poach from other people, and that's just the way the industry works. But of course, with that, the cost of workforce goes up. It's difficult to promote from within because everybody's always moving around, or you can't backfill the young talent to promote. So there were some real systemic issues going on. So I don't think necessarily it was with the skills coming through, it's just the volume. When this opportunity came available for me to join the challenge, you know, I jumped at it. I'd seen the problem in industry, and here's an organisation that can really shape and influence the systemic market problem to make a difference. Skills are invariably going to be changing, though. I think there's a few different market developments that are all combining to address, shape, change the cyber skills problem. At the moment, people talk about it quite black and white. There's a skill shortage. We need more skilled people. If their throughput isn't there at the moment, we have to focus on the early stage pipeline. We cannot engage that early stage pipeline promising them jobs of today. It's the jobs of tomorrow, and what are they going to look like? And so you've got things like AI coming through. That's going to change every industry, but it's also going to change the roles within cybersecurity. So there's not going to be as many data crunches needed in cybersecurity because the AI will do it. But to Bryony's earlier point, we'll need the people with the psychology degrees and everything to understand the patterns and maths degrees and things. So that's changing. What I've seen as well is the buying behaviours of customers are really driving a change in cybersecurity industry. What used to be buy an IT system, or buy maybe 10 of them, bolt them together, create vulnerabilities all over the place, and then retrofit security in. That was the norm. That has slowly been breaking down, and now when people go out to tender for an IT system, they're saying, I want a resilient IT system. That means that potentially, through that, you're actually lowering the burden on certain cybersecurity disciplines being required, because you're no longer retrofitting. You're building it in from the outset and designing in security. So that's going to have an impact and an effect as well. The other thing, and it's things like what the challenge does, but we are faced with a society of young people growing up who are exceptionally digitally savvy. Inherently, they do understand cybersecurity threats better than we did as we were growing up and coming into the industry. If you look at the stats, a lot of the incidents that happen are from accidental human error. Oh, there's a nice looking link. Let me click on it. Oops. You're going to have a generally more digital and cyber savvy workforce coming into the job market in a few years' time, whatever job they end up in. And if they start clicking on the links and everything, number of incidents goes down, demand for jobs goes down. There's loads of sort of interconnected bits. The market is changing. There'll still be a need for cybersecurity, absolutely. But we need to be cognizant of how that market is changing and preparing the next generation for what it's going to look like in 5 years' time.
That raises two interesting issues here. The first is, when companies are trying to recruit, they don't do a lot of practical testing. If I'm recruiting a welder, I expect him to sit there and put some metal together. If I'm recruiting somebody in cybersecurity, I'm supposed to take on trust that they've been involved in hacks or they have some skills. We don't sit them down. You here put people through a test. What is it that companies need to think about in terms of engaging with you? Because I look out there and there's 29 people out there, all potentially employees of my company, who I can see do stuff. So I can start to say, ooh, invest a bit of money here, help you guys, and I can find in real employees who I've got some idea about, instead of employees who I hope I've got some idea about. How do we get those companies to engage better with you, and why are they not queuing at your door?
We spread the word, because they should be queuing at our door, absolutely. The stat at InfoSec this year, and it keeps creeping up, so this year they were saying the average cost of hiring is £19,000. So it's going up, and if you think you're sponsoring us, by the time you've sponsored us and maybe got in front of one, two, three more decent, talented hires that have been well vetted through the competitions and exposed to the hands-on experience, you've made your money back and then some. There's something around the hiring policies in the big businesses that are a blocker. So when we talk to people like CISOs, CIOs, the old CEO, the people who actually hire the people and work with them, they get our model. I don't want to make big sweeping statements, but some of them feed back to me that it is their recruitment policies within the organization that prevent it. They are looking for buzzword bingo in CVs. They still like the traditional methods of hiring, send in a bunch of CVs, go through with the buzzword bingo, have they got CISP, have they got this, have they got that, there's a few to hire. And until we break that, we're not going to get the people queuing at our door. It's a shame, because I mean, what they get here is proven, enthusiastic individuals who are demonstrating their practical ability as well as their soft skills, because we teach and test all of that in the competitions. These are perfect hires. I would quite happily have taken many of those people out there in previous jobs.
Those soft skills though, Pranay, that's also important, isn't it? Because when we look at a competition like this as an outsider, I tend to think, okay, this is going to be much more hacking focused. It's much more skill coding based. Today, this is a whole forensics situation out there that the NCA has set up for you. So this is about problem solving, thinking forwards. How do we resolve? How do we work around this? There's not much coding going on out there for a change.
Not at all, no.
So how do you begin to evolve these challenges to soft skill challenges?
The NCA have actually taken that on brilliantly, and this has been an amazing event for that reason. It's completely different to a lot of the competitions we've seen in the past. It's tapping into a whole different skill set. People that might be a little bit afraid of the hardcore coding and computer networks and all of that side of it, this is actually much more friendly for them, which is probably why we see a few more girls in this one than we have in some of the others this year as well, because we know that they prefer the stuff that's to do with cryptography and problem solving and all of those types of challenges. It's pretty documented fact that that goes down better with my gender than it does on the other side of the table. we're seeing a real different group of people, and it's nice that they are sitting there and working through these challenges together as a team. They're leaning on the NCA officers to get more experience and more knowledge as well. And they're working through a lot of processes, legal guides and ethical requirements as well. It's really shaping them massively as a cybersecurity consultant, not in the technical bit that could almost be taught. It's that other side of it that they'll find really hard to pick up in a workplace unless they have an opportunity like this, which I think really opens the door for them.
Just to expand on that, we've consciously expanded the remit of the competitions to try to encompass the whole of the NIST framework. I think in the past, for my time, I think one of the accusations of the challenges were that they were all very, very technical and they were all very similar around pen testing. This year, we've broadened it out to test all of those different skills through the process across the NIST framework. Okay, some of them have got their different specialisms, so they're going to perform better at one face-to-face than the other, and that's perfectly natural in the industry as well. But having that broader appreciation of the full cyber landscape, and it goes beyond that into the business landscape as well. So the Bank of England one, the bit that really impressed me there, they ran a mock investment board. The teams had to put an investment case together and pitch it to a mock investment board. So that was really, really impressive to see how, you know, they approached that challenge when they thought they were showing up just to play with a computer. It's understanding you can't operate in cybersecurity without that broader appreciation of business. And what is cybersecurity at the end of the day? There's cyber threats and there's business risk. And you have to understand that whole flow of the dynamic. And then with cybersecurity, you pick up any of the standards, your ISO standard. And I think it's gone way beyond security by definition. And it's just a blueprint for building a resilient business with digital operations.
So where do you go next at the challenge? You've introduced competitions for military cadets, and that's encompassed scouting and guiding. You've introduced school competitions, and specifically competitions for girls rather than just as mixed groups. You've introduced competitions at university level. You've got this competition running now to define what it means to you, whether it be the song, a poem, a short story, a picture, whatever. But where do you go next?
There's three things. Scale, doing everything that we do, just bigger. Because this is a volume game. It's, what, 1.8 million worldwide shortages by 2020. It's a volume game, so we need to scale. We need to coordinate, because we do everything that we do very well, and there's a lot of other organisations and initiatives that do what they do as well, all towards a similar goal. It feels a little bit disjointed from a cyber skills market level at the moment, so I'd like to see the challenge being the focal point and coordinating all that activity. So we call it the pathways concepts, about the awareness and attracting, get people interested, but then where do they go along their pathway towards their cyber degree? Sometimes they're going to be playing and engaging in our stuff. Other times it'll be a cyber discovery camp, cyber first camp, something run by BT or PA Systems or whoever it is. Scale, pathways, and then we need to do more regionalization as well. And that will bring in some of the diversity elements as well. Socioeconomic is a really big one at the moment. There are too many affluent area centric events that go on, should I say. We need to take what we do properly out on the road and engage people where it's needed most, because we're missing out on huge cohorts of talent. And we need to start engaging them.
If I look at the area where I'm from, most people don't understand what I do as a job and what cybersecurity is. My goal at the end of the day is to be able to have a conversation with the people that I know and them get it and know what I do on a day-to-day basis, quite simply. I would love my 9-year-old nephew to be able to know that there's a job there for him in cybersecurity. He thinks gaming's great and I know he likes computers, but he would never know about it if I wasn't there to tell him. And I'd love to see him go into this kind of career. And that's what keeps me driven every day to do this. Yeah, I think if we can get a lot more support from industry, for sure, and just keep building on what we do to get that wider recognition, that for me at the end of the day is the end goal.
I wish you luck, Bryony and Colin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.